From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns has been preaching on the love of the Spirit. The text is Romans 15 and verse 30, in which the Apostle Paul is requesting prayer for himself, as he says, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Dr. Cairns has been seeking to provide several possible answers to the question, What is the love of the Spirit, to which Paul refers? Yesterday, he addressed the manifestation of the love of the Spirit, explaining what it does and how it operates. In this, the concluding portion of the message, we'll see how this love of the Spirit is obtained. First, Dr. Cairns takes time to answer the question, Does Jesus command us to hate? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Does the Lord Jesus command us to hate? The simple answer to that would be in that text, Luke 14, yes. That comes as such a shock, doesn't it? Can we ever hate? Modern Christianity has taught the world and told the world that hatred is never right. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, the passion that we associate with personal hatred and vengeance, that is not right. But when God hates, it is a rejection of someone on legitimate judicial grounds because of their own sin. When God hates, it is because He is in His holiness rejecting the unholiness of the sinner. When the psalmist said that he hates God's enemies with a perfect hatred, he is forsaking God's enemies and repudiating them because of his love for God. When Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and your mother for his sake, you can't be his disciple, he's saying if the occasion arises that you've got to choose between Christ and your father or mother, then if you're going to be his disciple, you've got to choose Christ. If that means forsake them, then you've got to forsake them. Now, to follow Christ does not mean that you, out of some spite, hate your parents and throw them over. But it does mean that if your parents demand it's either Christ or us, that your decision will be for Christ. This is the context. The Lord Jesus in Luke 14, in setting the conditions of discipleship, is talking about forsaking one thing to follow Him, forsaking another thing to follow Him. And it's in that context that He speaks of hating father and mother. It is losing them to gain Christ. Now, wise parents will certainly not put their children in that position. But I know and have known through my life of various cases where people have been put in that position, where parents have actually said, you become a Christian and you'll be out of this house. I know of one case where a young man found all his belongings on the doorstep when he arrived home. He was repudiated by his parents. The choice was up to him. If you have Christ, you're not going to have your parents. In that situation, Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you choose me above everybody else. That's the force of Christ's command. It is not a call to indulge in personal spite, personal animosity, or to seek out of some personal passion to execute vengeance on our parents or anybody else. That is always wrong.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Chalmers, one of the greatest of all Scottish preachers and theologians and many other things to boot, Thomas Chalmers was a minister for quite a time before he was saved. He was a great philosopher, one of the leading economists of his day, one of the greatest social reformers. And he had it all worked out. And then God saved him. And his whole life was changed. He was still a great philosopher, still a great theologian, still a great social reformer, still a man who left his impact on the treatment of the poor in Scotland. He was still an economist of no mean caliber. But there was a difference. Now he was saved. The love of the Spirit filled his heart. And when he thought of the difference, how the old things had been put away and new things had been put in their place, he termed it the expulsive power of a new affection. Those are the words, obviously, of a philosopher, but think of them. The expulsive power of a new affection. When the heart is gripped with a great new love, it expels the antithesis of that love. It expels that which is at enmity with that love. In other words, he is saying that victory over the love of the world is to be had by the love of the Spirit of God filling our very being. What does it do? Inspires every other gift in its use, motivates us to pray one for another, gives us a burden for the work of God, and expels the love of the world. And I finish very quickly. How is it obtained? Well, first, it comes with the Holy Ghost. You'll never know the love of God until you have the Spirit of God abiding within you. The apostates and the ecumenists are boasting about their love. Union with Rome is an experience and an expression of ecumenical love. I want to tell you it is not the love of the Spirit, because the love of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13, rejoiceth in the truth. And when people say their love is a love that's at the expense of truth, it is not the love of the Spirit, it is the counterfeit of the devil. You cannot have the love of the Spirit without having the Spirit. If you would have the love of the Spirit, you must have the Spirit. If you would know God loves you, if you would have the assurance that truly you're the object of the special love of God in Christ, you must be born again. This doesn't come with baptism. This doesn't come with joining the church. This doesn't come with religion of head, hand, or mouth. This comes with the religion of the heart. This comes with the person of the Holy Spirit coming to abide within you. Then it is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm not going to preach on the fruit of the Spirit this morning. I preached a long message on that some weeks or months, maybe it seems to you years ago, I don't know. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, love will be a large part, yea, it will be the prime production of the Holy Ghost within the Christian. I've already said it will be him convicting and convincing us of Christ's love for us. It will be producing a love for Christ in us. It will be producing in us a love for other people and for the work of God and the souls of men. I want to tell you, if God the Holy Spirit is not producing that in our hearts and not producing that in our lives, there is something radically wrong. The first production, the very first production of the Holy Spirit, the first aspect of His fruit is love. If you say you're saved and you're running around with a chip on your shoulder, there's something wrong with you. If you tell me you're saved but you're in bitterness and the gall of bitterness, and you're in bondage to bitterness, man, there's something radically wrong with you. Either you're not saved or you're backslidden, because I tell you the fruit of the Spirit is love. any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, let him be accursed. He'll go to hell. So the first thing the Holy Ghost does is give you a love for Christ. If you have not been given a love for Jesus Christ, then you're not saved. Now let's get it very clearly. I'm not talking about mere emotionalism. The New Testament does not use the Greek word for the sensuous love that the world makes so much about. When I hear these crooning pop singers getting on a so-called Christian show and they're singing to Jesus the way some drug-ridden fool would sing to his girlfriend, I begin to wonder, do they know anything about God or Christ at all? The love of the New Testament, agape love as they're so often fond of calling it, is the fixation of our heart and our will for the glory of Christ and the good of His cause. That's basically what it is. Oh, it will affect your feelings. But it first of all is a renewal and a fixation of the will toward Christ. It is the bias of the will to Christ. That's the very first thing the Holy Ghost does when He saves a man. And I want to tell you, that's why Paul says, if you don't love Christ, if your heart is biased still against Christ, if you, my friend, are not at home with Christ, but you're at home with the enemies of Christ, and you're at home with the devil and the world and sin, you need to be saved. I don't care how many times you've walked the aisle. I don't care what church you've joined or the number of times you've been baptized or the kinds of baptism you've been through. You will perish unless you're born again. Fruit of the Spirit is love. But if people love Christ and they hate the people of Christ, is that not a strange testimony? Is it possible to love Christ and have only bitterness for the body of Christ? The fruit of the Spirit. It comes, therefore, as the Holy Ghost cultivates our heart, as the Holy Spirit plows up, plants, nourishes spiritual fruit within us. I say He cultivates us, but let me say it is obtained. This love of the Spirit is obtained when we pursue it. It must be cultivated by us. We read those words, follow after charity. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity. It's an interesting expression. The verb that's translated to follow is actually the verb that often is translated to persecute. That'll give you an idea of the intensity of the word. It means to follow hard after. Sometimes with a malicious intent, that's persecution. Sometimes without a malicious intent, that's discipleship. Following hard after. It has the meaning to seek earnestly, to seek eagerly. I would put it this way. It means in our words of 1 Corinthians 14:1, to pursue relentlessly, to press toward. It's very interesting to me that this word is used in connection with a whole host of spiritual graces. I don't have time to do a study of them. Romans 14:19, you're to pursue hospitality. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you're to pursue that which is good. 1 Timothy 6:11, you're to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. 2 Timothy 2:22, again you're to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. Hebrews 12:14, you're to pursue peace and pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. 1 Peter 3:11, again the same word, pursue peace. Now notice those texts. Christian virtue must be actively pursued. The love of the Spirit is not the production of a naturally made disposition. It is acquired by diligent pursuit. It's acquired on your knees before God. It's acquired by labor and by practice. It is acquired by giving careful attention that you never repel it or hinder it or its giver. Pursue the love of the Spirit. Let me just go back to where we started. Pursue His witness that God loves you. That's full assurance of salvation. If you don't enjoy full assurance, pursue it. Get on your knees before God with your Bible open and stay there day by day crying to God that He will give you that knowledge, that assurance of His love. Pursue it. Do not just sit back and wait for it to drop out of heaven. Pursue it. If you would have a love for God, for His Christ and His Spirit, then pursue that love. If you would know His love for other people, whether saints or sinners, then pursue that love. And especially in the fellowship of the body of Christ, do nothing by bitterness, by anger, by rancor, by self-promotion or self-love. That is going to divide the body. It is going to be a hindrance to the love of the Spirit. And notice the word pursue. It has in it this idea. If you pursue something, then that thing is taking you on much further than where you are now. When you pursue the love of the Spirit, it's a quest that will take you much further than you now are in the experience of Christ and His Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Ghost and His love are trying to elude you, but rather that the Holy Spirit, having you pursue Him and His love, is drawing you nearer to Christ, drawing you nearer to heaven, even while you are on earth. Heaven on earth. For this is the highest pinnacle of Christian living. To live in the knowledge of God's love to us. To live with a love for Him supremely filling our hearts. And then to live with a love like Christ's love for the souls of men. That is the highest pinnacle of Christian living. I tell you, that is worth pursuing. May God enable us to follow hard after charity and live in the love of the Spirit.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.